You may remember that I led a service here and I shared with you three books I'd read in a couple of weeks from a country of Iraq. And I shared then that I was going to share some thoughts from one of those books. Well, unfortunately, God had other ideas. How's that? Last weekend, we were in Bundaberg, and Heather and I have been reading God's Word, listening to what God is saying. And this morning, we're going to look at a passage from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. And as a lot of you know, I love the Old Testament. And God has spoken to us and continues to speak through us through the Old Testament. So let's just bow in a word of prayer and then we'll look into His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that, Father, Your Word says that where two or three are gathered in Your midst, You are here. And Father, we thank You for Your presence. And Father, I do ask that, Lord, the words spoken here this morning are not my words, but they're Yours. And that, Father, it's You challenging each one of us to a closer walk with You. So, Father, we thank You for this time that we can look into Your Word and we commit it to You now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, each of us makes choices. What time did you get up this morning? What clothes you put on? What food you had for breakfast? What you wear to church? You made a choice to come to church. Some people, oh no, I'm not going to church. I'll go surfing at Rainbow. Whatever it was, we all make choices. And right from the start of creation, remember God gave Adam and Eve a choice. They can eat of a certain tree, but they were told, don't eat of that particular tree. And sadly, Adam and Eve ate of that particular tree, and mankind has suffered the repercussions ever since. Right from that time, the Bible rightly shows us that the results of us making good choices or bad choices, we live with it, don't we? And I'll ask Brad to show us 1 Samuel 8:7. Do everything they say to you. The Lord replied, for they are rejecting Me, not you. They don't want Me to be their king any longer. Here was the people of Israel. God had brought them from Egypt right up into the promised land. And they were quite content there, but they turned their backs on God, and what they were actually asking for was a king, a man to lead them, to judge them, to lead them into battle, to lead their country. And so it's a sad history of a nation who did not want the Lord to be their king. They wanted a man king, similar to their neighbours. And God had brought them from Egypt. It's amazing when you think about what God has done for them, the miracles that He performed for Israel through that time. Victory over Pharaoh. Remember all the plagues that came into Egypt? And it was pretty tough stuff. Victory over Pharaoh, protection of their firstborn. The angel of death visited Egypt, and the firstborn of each family that didn't have that blood spilt on the door, on either side of the door, on the top of the door, the firstborn in that family died. The opening of the Red Sea to escape from the army of Pharaoh. And further down in the wilderness, They ran out of food. What did God do? He provided manna. Later on, they ran out of water. And God provided water from a rock. And as they moved through that area, they fought battles. and the amazing battles. We're wanting us to think about the Battle of Jericho. Now, God destroyed Jericho without even the sword being raised and used against the enemy. Amazing stuff. And yet here was a nation living in paradise, as it were, and they turned their back on God. They wanted a man king. God has given Israel power, has given Israel wisdom and protection and his love. And yet, they turned away from God and they wanted a king. Billy Graham says in one of his books, when our minds are on the flesh, we think small. You think about that. When we start thinking about the things of this world, we're thinking small. Today, we live in a very blessed nation, and yet many are dissatisfied and want more of the things of this world. You know, years ago, in my younger days, we went to Mount Tambourine many, many times, up to the Easter Convention, the Christmas Convention, Youth Encounters, you name it, we went to it from Gympie. And one guy in particular, Dr. John Hunter, spoke up there. And he described our lives as a jigsaw puzzle. You know, you've got them at home. Some of them are 100 jigsaws, some are 500, some are 1,000. And you spend hours getting these jigsaws together. When you get to the very last one, you can't find that one piece. You know, it's a blank. And John Hunter said, you know, our lives are like that. We have a God-shaped blank here. And there's only one person who can fill that blank. God himself. And sadly, we, being human, we try all sorts of things to fill that blank. And, you know, it can be possessions, it can be money, it can be you name it. God has given us a God-shaped blank and only he can fill it. I have 1 John 2 and verse 16, please. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride of our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Will live forever. I just wonder where we stand today. Are we living a life that is sinking God first in every part of our lives? God showed mercy to Israel repeatedly, only to have rejection from them. The same mercy was extended to mankind from the cross. The Lord Jesus could not have opened his arms wider to embrace a dying world. Though the nature of man is to despise him and to reject him. King Solomon had just finished building the temple. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, he prayed for God's blessing on Israel. And then we move on to chapter 7. He dedicated the temple to God. Before we look at that particular passage, I want to read to you the first paragraph of the Australian Constitution. And this was written in 1900. And it says this: whereas the people of New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Queensland and Tasmania humbly rely on the blessing of Almighty God, have agreed to unite in one indissoluble federal commonwealth under the crown of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. You know, our forefathers knew and relied on God to build this nation. And that's tremendous, isn't it? And sadly, friends, right now there are people in this nation who are questioning, do we really need God's blessing? Do we need God's the foundation of the Bible? It's sad, isn't it? And so we read in 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 to 14. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace and completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. And then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I've heard your prayer and chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. 13 and 14, please, Fred. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. And this is the verse that is really being spoken to me. Verse 14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. This particular verse was very specific to Israel concerning their land. We also can learn from God's plea. His message is the same to us today as it was to Israel way back then. Repent from your sin and turn to me. The picture of Israel in the Old Testament is a picture of us today. God's healing is dependent upon our obedience to his commands. He blesses us greatly. Then we become complacent or rebelling, falling back into doing our own thing. God will forgive. Sin, disobedience, leaves a big mess. I read this particular next passage from the Los Angeles Times, and it wrote this quote, the world, can you put it up please, Brad? The phases of civilization. The world's greatest civilization averaged 200 years. Society progresses through this sequence. The first one is from bondage to spiritual faith. You know, when you think of our heritage, this country, way back in 1780 or whatever it was, people came from England, and a lot of them were prisoners. Not so much POWs, but they were prisoners, because it's been said in the written that some people went to prison because they pinched a loaf of bread. And they came to this nation. And then in 1900, our constitution was written. And we sought the blessing of God as this nation came together under God. And we saw a nation being built on the foundation of God. This past week, we celebrated, but that's not the word, is it? Anzac Day. It's not a celebration. It's a day of remembrance. A day when we think of those guys who went to Gallipoli. We think of the guys who went to the Middle East. You know, my cousin and his wife went to Beersheba, when was it, just the end of last year, when they had the reenactment. You realise it's been said to me, and I believe it's true, those 800 horsemen carried a Bible in their kit. That's tremendous, isn't it? God using 800 guys to liberate Beersheba and forge the way to liberate Palestine and to eventually it became the country of Israel that we know today. So from bondage to spiritual strength, to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. You know, I don't know if any of you guys have been to war, but I know our fathers have. My dad went to war. And, you know, you've got to have courage to face that sort of stuff. Real courage. And a lot of these guys, my dad said to me one day, he said, you know, there are no atheists on the battlefield. There are no atheists on the battlefield. Every man knows that any moment now could be my last moment and I face God. Tremendous. Great courage to go out. And from great courage, we enjoy liberty. We enjoy freedom. And it was through the First World War, the Second World War, Vietnam, many wars that young men and women have gone out and are prepared to give their lives for your freedom and for mine. And you know, when you think about that, the Lord Jesus, for 33 years, he knew what was coming. He could see what was coming. It was there and right in front of him. He knew that one day he would give his life for each one of us so that we might have freedom and we can know God in a real intimate and wonderful way. So from liberty to abundance, you know, this nation, we are just so blessed. We have abundance of resources. We have abundance of food. We have abundance of jobs. We are just so blessed, really. And as we get older, we're supported. In many countries, as we get older, the family have to support us. And you know, really, we don't really grasp how much God has blessed us here in this land. So we know what abundance is all about. And from abundance, we move on to selfishness. And sadly, there are people who, even though they have abundance, they're not satisfied. They want more. You know, it annoys the life out of me when I see on TV, you know, Harvey Norman, you know, you can have a new fridge, a new this, a new that. Don't worry about paying now. Pay in 50 months' time. Crazy. And it's, you know, we've got over an abundance. And yet, deep down, we just want more and more and more. So we have selfishness. And from selfishness, we go to complacency. You know, we get to a stage where we think we're pretty good. We just want to, you know, when I was thinking about this, it reminded, and it was Frank Sinatra, and he had that song, I Did It My Way. Is that the bloke? Yep. I Did It My Way. And, you know, pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? You know, we just become so big-headed that, we become complacent. From complacency, we become apathetic. We have a lack of interest. We become indifferent. You know, there are issues within this nation. There are issues within this town, in our district. And we become indifferent. Oh, well, that's their problem, so what? Well, it doesn't affect me. And then we go from apathy to dependency. We want to get help. We're not prepared to knuckle down and make our way. We want to get help. Mind you, we live in a society that where welfare is good, and it's good to help those who need it. But I've heard the saying, this country owes me a living. And it's a sad place to be. And so from dependency, we go back to bondage. We become a society where we're not prepared to lift our hands and our thinking to get up and have it go. You know, when we think about what God said to Solomon, I want my people to humble themselves and to come back to me. You know, way back in 9/11, 2001, I don't have to remind you what happened when America was attacked by terrorists and they brought down the two towers there in New York, the Pentagon, and they crashed that other plane in Pennsylvania. You know, worldwide, people were terrified, humbled, were really upset. Churches filled all over the world. And we realise that, you know, things can really happen. And Billy Graham, he had shared in 1957 at a crusade, thinking about this verse in verse 14 in 2 Chronicles 7. He felt God saying to him, teach this, because if people don't listen and understand, this may happen. And so this morning, I just want to read to you the last page of this book of Billy Graham, and I commend it to you. I'm not going to put it in the library, but it goes through every book in the Bible. And some are combinations of books, and it's all separate messages. Our nation grew strong in an era when moral standards were emphasised, but has been weakened by our condoning that which we once condemned. Whenever 2 Chronicles is recited, I pray to God that the people will dwell on what the Lord is commanding. We must set aside our pride and humble ourselves to God's will. We must pray with repentant hearts in His presence. We must seek His face for direction in all that we do. We must turn from the wickedness of sin that will destroy us. Then by faith, we must accept His response with gladness. The Lord had more to say to Israel, and we must heed these warnings as well. And we read on in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 19 to 22. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot my land, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight. And that's the temple he was talking about. Everyone who passes by it will say, why has the Lord done this? And then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, the Lord God of their fathers. Therefore, he brought all this calamity on them. This is the Lord's word to ancient Israel, and it is his word for us today. We may look at the suspicious eye of ancient Israel wanting a king in their own image, but we are no different. We live under a three-ruler kingdom. Me, myself, and I. Just as America has grown and Australia has prospered within the framework of our Constitution, so Christianity has flourished from the principles set forth in the Bible. The secret strength of a godly nation is found in the faith that abides in the hearts and the homes of its citizens. We need to humble ourselves and admit that we have gone too far. That's the challenge that I believe God wants us to think about today. We've gone too far. We need to humble ourselves, confess where we've gone wrong, and put Him first. So let's, I think in that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, at everything else, the needs that we have, the needs that are in our land, God will provide for them. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it's right up to date. And Father, we thank you that your presence is so real, that Lord, we can know your guiding hand in every aspect of our lives. Father, that the choices we make, Father, help us to be godly people, people who are seeking you first in every aspect of our lives, so that we might know your presence, your leading, and your blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.